Greetings, this is Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church with a moment of truth where we challenge you to think through an important issue of life and faith. And today, how do we successfully wage a righteous revolution? A righteous revolution, not an unrighteous one, but a righteous revolution. Now, if we are to have a successful revolution that overthrows the present deep state of America and replaces it with a Christian constitutional republic that is deep in liberty and freedom, how are we to do it according to biblical and constitutional principle? A righteous revolution. Is a righteous revolution an oxymoron? What would such a revolution look like? Who would be the participants? How would they go about their mission? Now, for the last few weeks, we have laid out the necessity for the complete destruction of the debauched, corrupt, deep state, and its replacement by a Christian constitutional republic. And we have noted several inescapable truths. First of all, we've noted we have as much reason in America today to overthrow the tyranny of the deep state that has metastasized throughout the American body politic as our founding fathers did the tyranny of the British Crown and Parliament in 1776. And we meticulously examined the 29 particular complaints, not just the soaring rhetoric of the preamble, but the 29 particulars that Jefferson listed in the Declaration of Independence. And we saw that, behold, those particular instances of tyranny bear an eerie resemblance to the complaints of patriots in our own generation. It's deja vu all over again, because although names and faces change over the centuries, the nature of tyranny does not. Just as wisdom is known by her children, as Jesus said about wisdom, well, so tyranny is known also by her evil spawn that always bears the family traits. And we also notice that our present constitutional republic is one in name only and has been so thoroughly co-opted by the deep state that constitutional republic we knew and loved cannot be reformed. It must be destroyed. The majestic eagle of the republic has morphed into the deformed dragon of the deep state. The cancer of the deep state has so infused the vital organs of the constitutional republic that to cure the disease is to automatically kill the patient. And then we have also noted, we did this last week, that which must replace it is an overtly Christian constitutional republic. Christ must be openly and explicitly acknowledged as king. We should say in the opening preamble, Christ the King, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, and then move through the rest of the preamble as well. And then additionally, we must swear our oaths of office in his name. We must arrive at a national consensus as to what Christian means in a Christian constitutional republic. All these things we must do. Our rationale for the Christian constitutional republic is laid out, really, in last week's message in baby form. It needs to grow and mature. But today, how do we then successfully wage a righteous revolution? How do we get from point A to point B, that is a Christian constitutional republic in the United States of America? And once more, history does provide us with many lessons in this area, many lessons, and I want to recount four of them for you. If we're not going to be doomed to repeat the history of failed, disastrous revolutions, well, then we must learn from them. Four of the most important are, number one, we must exhaust all the peaceful legal avenues of redress of grievances first. So important. We must exhaust all the peaceful legal avenues of redress of grievances first. A son who strikes his father across the face for a wrong, when that father's willing to correct it, that son is a fool. Who breaks into a neighbor's house by smashing a window when that neighbor stands at an open door ready to welcome him? Well, so it is. Citizens are fools when they commit revolution when they have legal, peaceful avenues in which to redress grievances. But when those avenues of redress have been closed and even violently turned away, well, then there is little option but to bring about salutary change by means of revolution. And we need not go over this in great detail since we've covered it quite thoroughly in our four-part series on the particulars of the Declaration of Independence. And for the sake of argument then, suffice it to say that we, the American people, have exhausted all peaceful legal avenues of redress of grievances. Number two, the second observation I want to make with us, number two, magistrates, and we want to indeed foster a righteous revolution. And if we're going to do so, then number two, magistrates who occupy offices of legitimate government authority, those magistrates must lead bona fide revolution. This is a call to all patriot magistrates out there in government. And you don't have to be governor. You don't have to be president. You can be dog catcher too. All those who occupy offices of legitimate government authority must lead bona fide revolution. This is a call to you. And it's a pillar of Christian political action from the very earliest days of the church, when the great St. Augustine insisted that a just war can only be waged by legitimate authorities of the state. It's one of the seven pillars of a just war theory. And that is that a just war can only be waged by legitimate authorities of the state. And by extension, it stands to reason and biblical principle that righteous revolution can only be waged by legitimate authorities of the state. And Paul puts it succinctly, what the whole Bible bears out concerning government authority, and that is there's no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. That's from Romans 13. And once more, we have seen this principle borne out in history too. And our founding fathers were perhaps the best example of this principle. They were all public servants in the respective colonial governments who either had served or were then serving at the time of the revolution in some capacity. George Washington, for example, had been an elected member of the Virginia House of Burgesses, and he was also a delegate to the Continental Congress. The same could be said of Thomas Jefferson, a delegate to the Continental Congress from Virginia, or John Adams, a delegate to the Continental Congress from Massachusetts, and John Hancock, too, famously, president of the Continental Congress. Well, these were no impetuous hotheads who were making revolution, for light and transient causes, as Jefferson warned against in the Declaration of Independence. Do not do revolution or change government for light and transient causes. Rather, our founding fathers were legitimate authorities who had pursued all peaceful legal avenues of redress for many decades prior to the revolution. But when that was found to be impossible of attainment, well, the only recourse is to, as Jefferson puts it once again in the Declaration, to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security, unquote. Once again, we go to a contrast. In contrast with the American Revolution and the American Founding Fathers, we have roughly contemporaneous the French Revolution, 1789. The French Revolution exemplifies what happens when the mob prosecutes revolution instead of legitimate magistracy. What results, of course, when the mob does revolution? What results is anarchy and tyranny and a wholesale bloodbath, which, of course, culminated in what the whole period is known as the Reign of Terror. What a ominous and formidable title. We, as the American people, do not want to descend in a revolution that issues in a reign of terror. Although there are indeed progressives who are trying to foster such a thing. Well, in that day, there were no restraints on the vicious, vindictive impulses of the mob. There were no courts to deliberate justice, no legislatures to mediate law, no executives to fairly administer justice. Rather, there was only a bloody anarchy that eventually even consumed the original instigators, which is, of course, exemplified by its chief proponent, Robespierre, beheaded himself by colleagues more pure in revolutionary fervor than himself. And this all transpired, of course, as the fires of the revolution were finally extinguished in tyranny at the end. In contrast, the American Revolution gave us George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. The French Revolution gave us Napoleon. Very typical of a tyrant. This principle that I've just articulated for you is so important that it's almost impossible to overemphasize. Oh, we need legitimate magistrates at the helm of any righteous revolution. What results then? The civil magistrate is, as Paul says, God's servant for your good, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Huh? We must subject ourselves to such for the sake of conscience, as Paul says, to righteous then magistrates. And as a result, if we do this, revolution becomes not an option for the hothead bent on anarchy, no, but revolution, righteous revolution, becomes then rather, in complete contrast, it becomes for the Christian patriot. Revolution does for the Christian patriot in subjection to other patriots in positions of authority who recognize injustice when they see it and are willing to stand to correct it and administer true biblical justice. In such cases, revolution is warranted and revolution is legitimate. And this must be recognized, dear listener. There are too many fading patriots nowadays who are so reluctant then to stand for justice and stand for the right. So often, biblical passages like Romans 13, I have this waved in my face all the time, Romans 13, which says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, such a passage is taken at face value as if it's the only Bible verse that deals with the believer and his relationship to government. It's not. Unlike the modern evangelical Christian who treats Romans 13 like a written excuse from mommy to skip class on government so that such a one doesn't have to think seriously about it or potentially risk anything. That's the real thing. Nobody wants to risk anything in his own life but just submit without conscience. Oh, yes. Paul says we submit with conscience. But when you just fly over the text and use it and wave it in somebody's face like it's an excuse from mommy to skip government class, you do so without conscience. Ah, Romans 13 is not the final word on our relationship to government. What is required today is a network of magistrates. Magistrates that are local and state and national, dedicated to creating a Christian constitutional republic. That is what is required today. A call for a network of magistrates. If you are an elected official today serving, I don't care whether you're governor, lieutenant governor, state rep, or dog catcher, sheriffs especially, this is a call to you. We are creating a Christian constitutional republic, and we call you to muster. You must be men and women of integrity and skill and courage. That's going to be required. This is no time for the timid. In the future, magistrates will be required to be in firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. As Jefferson concludes the Declaration of Independence, you will be required to be in firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, mutually pledging each other's lives and fortunes and sacred honor. Oh, without you, magistrate, there really is no possibility of righteous revolution. You are indispensable. You are required. If you are an elected magistrate at any level of government and you're hearing me today, you are essential. You must step up now and be identified. And when you are, you will be immediately a target of the deep state. Oh, and all that which entails, doesn't it? Just look at President Trump. You're in for such kinds of treatment as well. But, dear magistrate, you will also become a linchpin of liberty. A linchpin of liberty. You will also be critical to the making of a new republic. Linchpins kept wheels from spinning off colonial carts and carriages. Linchpins kept sails on colonial ships from flapping aimlessly in the wind. And so, the righteous patriotic magistrate, you, you keep a righteous revolution from having the wheels come off or having its sails flap aimlessly in the winds of change. You are necessary. You are required. Christian magistrates have also been fathers of freedom throughout history. There are sterling examples to hand. I urge you, read a biography of Oliver Cromwell, for instance. Perhaps distantly you've heard his name, maybe in high school or something, but Oliver Cromwell was a Christian magistrate elected to the English Parliament prior to the English Civil War in the mid-17th century. Cromwell rose through the ranks of the military to lead the armies of Parliament against the tyrant King Charles I. I'll read this biography of Oliver Cromwell. A man named d'Aubergine has written a biography. That's the best one out there. It's called The Protector. D'Aubergine, D-A-U-B-E-R-G-I-N-E, written a fantastic biography of Oliver Cromwell called The Protector. Cromwell was the only general in history to never lose a battle on the battlefield. No one can claim that kind of record. Well, after defeating the king's army, the royalists, Cromwell helped to establish the English Republic, called the Commonwealth of England, which prevailed during the period known as the Interregnum, that is, between the kings. Cromwell, now, this is an advisement here. Cromwell is an immensely controversial figure in history. He is, unsurprisingly, since Cromwell was a fervent Christian patriot who saw things in black and white with very few shades of gray. But Cromwell is nevertheless clearly an example of a Christian magistrate who became a linchpin of liberty, a father of freedom. One of my other favorites from history is a man called Frederick the Wise, Elector of Saxony. Not many men have heard of him. Frederick the Wise. He was a 16th century German monarch who is famous for protecting the great reformer Martin Luther. Now, we've all heard of Martin Luther, but very few people realize Martin Luther never would have been unless it had been for Frederick the Wise, because he protected Martin Luther from Pope Leo X. The Pope declared Luther a heretic and thus liable to be burned at the stake. That happened to so many others previous to him. But the magistrate under whose authority Luther came while he was in Wittenberg, Germany, was this just and fair man, Frederick the Wise, a patriot. And although Frederick remained a Roman Catholic until his very deathbed, there are legends of him becoming baptized and dying indeed a Lutheran, but he remained a Roman Catholic until his very end. And Frederick was a stickler for fair trials for all of his subjects, and he was a stickler for the rule of law. Can you see why he was an early patriot? He vehemently protested the Pope's treatment of his subject, Dr. Luther, and Frederick shielded and protected Luther for years at various places throughout his realm. Without him, Luther surely would have been captured and killed, and the Reformation and the Revolution, if you will, would have been aborted before it had begun. Frederick the Wise, too, is a linchpin of liberty, a father of freedom. Well, if we are ever to see the deep state of America utterly destroyed and the United States deep in the principles of liberty established, then you, Christian magistrate, must step up. A call to you today. This idea of, indeed, a righteous revolution is impossible without you, but it is glorious with you. Oh, yes. And you will participate in that glory. I am so proud and encouraged, too, by the patriots within our Idaho state government, too. There's a lot to be hopeful for because of who we've elected, especially several of the women who have stepped forward during Governor Little's ill-considered shutdown. I'm so proud. My own state representative as well seems to be a man of constitutional principle. So there is much to be encouraged by in the great state of Idaho, men and women who are already taking their place as linchpins of liberty, fathers of freedom, and mothers of freedom, too. Oh, so much to be encouraged by. Well, thirdly, then, if we are going to have a righteous revolution, there is a third element that is absolutely required, and that is a significant number of the people must understand and support those magistrates and the revolution. Oh, so important. Dear listener, what do we call brave, principled magistrates who stand up against tyranny all alone without the support of the people? What do we call them? We call them martyrs. Yes, they become martyrs because they're all alone. No righteous revolution ever succeeded without the sacrificial support of at least some of the citizens of that nation. It doesn't have to be all of them, but at least it has to be some of them. Historians estimate that during the period of the American Revolution, approximately one-third of the colonials were patriots, one-third of them were Tories, that is, loyal to England, and one-third of those colonials were indifferent to the outcome. Now, this may come as a surprise to many who might get the impression from movies and books and so forth that except for a few sticks in the mud, boneheads like that are loyal to England. No, Americans were all rah-rah patriots waving the red, white, and blue, ready to die for freedom. But that was far from the case. In fact, that's true for most revolutions in history. The truth is that in real life, most people have enough on their plate trying to make ends meet, put food on the table for their families, keep their farms going in colonial America. They have little time and few resources to sacrifice on behalf of some revolution, even though they may like the idea of liberty and freedom. That's the reality. The truth is that most revolutions have been successful with only a handful of well-organized, committed citizens. Once again, historians estimate that while perhaps one-third of colonials supported the American Revolution and may have done a few things here and there around the edges to actually further the revolution, it was a core of about 3 to 5% of the population who actually fought the war in the army, made the decisions in the legislatures, and sacrificed with time and money to support the troops in the field. The important point is this. These 3 to 5% were there. It made the American Revolution. And this will be required today to establish a Christian constitutional republic in our own day. The Christian magistrate simply must have the committed, unwavering support of patriots in the population if he or she is ever to succeed. There is a real, substantial symbiosis where one feeds from the other, and a reciprocity where one serves the other, which must develop, a symbiosis, a reciprocity that must develop between the magistrate who represents the people, and the people to whom the magistrate is ultimately accountable. Oh, a symbiosis, a reciprocity. The magistrate must understand that he or she is but a servant of the people for whom he or she makes great but glorious sacrifices. History will remember you, magistrate. And there must be this understanding, too, amongst the people that they must render equally sacrificial support and loyalty and obedience to their magistrates, without whom they would have no constitutional republic. We owe, indeed, our magistrates support and loyalty and obedience. But for that obedience, there must be trust. If I don't trust you, magistrate, you do not have my obedience. But if indeed I do trust you implicitly, then you do have my obedience and loyalty and support. There is an organic interdependency that must develop between the people and their representatives. It is best achieved when those magistrates are from the people, known by the people, and in connection and communication with the people. Oh, Oliver Cromwell had that trust with his roundheads, as they were called, because of the bowls that would be put over their heads and their haircut. They had round heads. And he had this connection with them. And also the people from whom Oliver Cromwell actually came. He had this organic connection. So did Sam Houston, another patriot. Sam Houston had this with the citizens of Texas. He led the army to victory at San Jacinto, and he also became the Texas Republic's first president in that revolution that he led, that revolution against Santa Anna and the tyrannical Mexican government. Sam Houston had that organic connection with the people. When that kind of dynamic exists, dear listener, revolutions succeed. So, Americans, my fellow brothers and sisters in America, my fellow citizens, my listeners, Idahoans, we must do our part too. when brave, patriotic magistrates step forward to risk their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. And they do this for us. They do it for our liberty. Well, let's make sure that when they do this, they don't just hear crickets. And when they look behind them, they see no one there. No. I hope, dear listener, that you are already a part of this one-third plus who support a Christian constitutional republic. And I hope that you are prepared then to be a part of that 3 to 5% or more. Let's see if we can push that number to 6, 10, 15% of Americans who fight the battles and make the personal sacrifices of time and resources to ensure the success of our magistrates. Magistrates, step forward. You, a call to you today, step forward and identify yourself boldly as, indeed, one who supports, indeed, righteous revolution, and then ultimately the 21st century revolution of liberty and freedom against the deep state. This has been Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church. New Geneva meets for holy worship. I urge you to please come and visit us and find out who we are. We're a people who loves liberty, a people who indeed loves the Lord Jesus Christ, eagerly looking forward to a day when we have indeed a Christian constitutional republic. But if you've been thinking of visiting us, this perhaps is a good time. We're meeting now on Sundays at 10 a.m. We do so at 101 4th Street on the corner of 4th and Boulevard. We're presently preaching through the book of Revelation. Join us. And you can call us for feedback and more information at area code 208-523-0196. 208-523-0196.